Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Good, good. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of Lord Buddha, I welcome you to this conversation. What did Buddha say? In the teaching of Buddha, part of the way of purification, and then the way of practical attainment. This is what he says. And it's a good thing because some of this we're aware of, we just need to be reminded. And some of it will inspire us to keep going, even when things look difficult. Those who seek enlightenment must be careful of their each step they take. No matter how high one's aspiration may be, it must be attained step by step. You have to go to pre-kindergarten, then kindergarten, elementary, middle school, high school, college, and on and on. You can't skip it, even if you adopt what a genius from pre-kindergarten and you get your PhD. Well, that's something, isn't it? The steps of the path to enlightenment must be taken in our everyday life, not be a weekend warrior. It's every day you got to pay attention and practice it. At the very beginning of the path to enlightenment, there are 20 difficulties for us to overcome in this world. And they are. He didn't say when you are in the middle, he said at the beginning. Because as you progress step by step, that the others you that means you've overcome them. So you don't need to start all over. Number one, it is hard for a poor man to be generous. Think about it. What does he have to offer? But when you are in that place of enlightenment, you see, remember this is for the beginners at the beginning. But when you are in that place of enlightenment, you remember the story of Lord Krishna and the poor man who has nothing to offer but the milk that comes from the cow. That's all he's got. But the wealthy man who has everything wouldn't even be generous. Number two. It is hard for a proud man to learn the way of enlightenment because they think they know it all. Don't they say pride begets what? Fall. If you think you are God, you know what happened to the so-called gods. My heart goes out to the Olympic, they call him the quad god. Number three, it is hard to seek enlightenment at the cost of self-sacrifice. Most of us don't want to give up if they say, okay, look, you'll be enlightened, but you need to die. Most of us say, you can keep your enlightenment. I still want to live. But once you get into the vibe of that, then you know you are not actually dying. Remember the story of the one who was looking for Babaji? And eventually spirit allowed him to find where and say, are you Babaji? He said, who wants to know? Say, well, take me, you know. And Babaji said, I can't take you the way you are. Then he said, well, I'll just, you know, kill myself. Babaji said, knock yourself out. And he fell from the mountain and died. And Babaji said, aha, now that is the commitment it takes for enlightenment. It doesn't mean he's enlightened now. Now, that's self-sacrifice. And then he woke him up, and now you can follow me. Do we get this? It is hard to, number four, it is hard to be born when Buddha is in the world. that makes people say, huh, why is it hard to be born when Buddha is in the world? Because when Buddha is in the world, it raises the level, isn't it? It's like during the time of Jesus, for those who are following, remember the rich guy who has everything? And he said he obeys the laws, he's never, you know. And then Jesus said, well, give up, you know, and then you can say, ah. Even Jesus pitied him, like, look at that. And that's why he said, it is easier for the elephant, or what is it? Or is it the camel to go the through the what?
Camel.
The camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to, you know. Yeah, because the level of consciousness is way, but if Christ wasn't there, he probably thinks, well, he's done everything. Do we get it? So he thinks he's on the way to big enlightenment. He doesn't know he has to give up all of that. But because Buddha is there, so Buddha said, well, you have to bless her. Let me rethink this. I can't give up all these billionaire people, all these billionaire people saying Araka did it to me. Number six, it is hard to keep the mind pure against the instincts of the body. Do we remember they said, spirit is willing, but the body is weak? The body wants what it wants until you tame it. That you can't just go riot and say, okay, I want this, you know. You've already eaten. Why do you want to compound more food? And then you wonder why you're putting on weight. Number seven, it is hard not to desire things that are beautiful and attractive. Who wants ugliness? Nobody wants ugliness. But someone on the was already imbibed in the vibration of enlightenment sees everything as beautiful. They don't discriminate, you know. Remember the story of Buddha when this woman, who used to be very beautiful and everybody wants her, when she went to visit Buddha and she wanted Buddha to say, ah, we're not doing that, homie, don't play that. There will be time I will be able to welcome you. You will be mine. And then she got sick. All that beauty went away. And all the people wanted that. What did they do? They didn't want her. And then Buddha said, yes, now come. I will be your friend. I will be your lover. Not lover in terms of, you know, when everybody forsake you, God never forsake you. I will be there until it's time for you to pass on, or I can heal you as God walks through me. So it is hard not to desire things that are beautiful and attractive. Number eight, it is hard for a strong man not to use his strength to satisfy his desires. Remember the story of Samson and Delilah? He was strong, nobody could, you know. Yeah, well, he used it against his enemies. And as much as they tried, they couldn't get until they find the weakness. And that weakness, well, we use what we have. That's what he's saying. When we have our talent and gift, it is hard for us not to use it. But some of us, we use it in the wrong way. That is what they're saying. You don't use your talent or gift in a way that is negative, that harms people. When you use it in a positive way, you are on the road to enlightenment. But when you say because you are rich, then you even take from the poor, or you send somebody to jail, or you lie against them, or because you think you are the politician or the president or whoever you are. Don't do that. That's what Buddha is saying. Because you go into the spirit of puff puff. I am the king. We know what happens to the kings and gods when they forget the real owner of life. It is hard not to get angry when one is insulted. Oh, who do you think you are talking to? I am Apollo, the Pope. You insult me, That's the end of you. See, I'm combining Apollo God and the Pope. They are not one and the same. But someone who is imbibed with that vibration of that oneness with divine, they take it. We know of stories of Yogananda and all the others. I know story of my own father that, you know, they don't let it bother them. If that's the case, Jesus would have killed so many people. Somebody said, well, because that's a great insult when they say, well, he's not a person of God. He's using the power of Beelzebub. Jesus said, I'll show you. But he let it go. And they say, aren't you that son of the carpenter? You know? The moment they open their mind, he will freeze it right there. But no, no matter what the insult, you know, it is, number 10, it is hard to remain innocent when tempted by sudden circumstances. Watch out for those traps, the temptations. You won't see it coming, then they show up. We hear stories of people who say, oh, we found these suitcases because we bought this house and we're remodeling that, and they find the money there, only to find out that it belongs to some mafia people and they're not looking for them. Because they think it's a wolf, that is free money. But the person who knew why he hid it there, now is not looking for them. Now it becomes a house of horror. Then now they have to go start the, now if they had gone to the police and give it away, right, then they wouldn't have to worry about that. Because the story would go out that, oh, this couple found this, you know, is in the police station, but now they have to change identity, run out, you know. Number 11, it is hard to apply oneself to study widely and thoroughly. Why? Because we always have that narrow mind. We see it in different religious practices. Mind is the only way to God. If you are not doing that, hell is waiting for you. But if they expand their understanding, they will know. Every road, every path leads to one God. So yours is not. This is for you. It's okay. But don't judge the other one, because you are not the God who created that. So number 11, it is hard to apply oneself to study widely and thoroughly unless you're on that path of enlightenment. When that ignorance grips us, we seem to be narrow-minded. Number 12, it is hard not to despise a beginner. Pride and all of their life. Oh, you're going to slow us down. Well, hello. Didn't you begin somewhere too? Have mercy. You know, it's like telling it a toddler, okay, get on your bike. The toddler is trying to learn how to walk, even to crawl. And the older one said, Mama, I want to go see my friend. He's slowing us down. Remember, you were once a beginner. Embrace or welcome all, because if you are on that path of enlightenment, you will remember where you started out. Doesn't this look sweet? 20 difficulties to overcome. Mm-hmm. Number 13, it is hard to keep oneself humble when everything is going well for you, when you think, oh yes, you've not met challenges yet. Oh, you think, oh yeah, you know, I got the Midas touch, you know. And then you cannot see that is God benefiting you. Don't despise the other. Actually help them. Be humble. Don't say, well, I'm Taylor Swift. Remember a particular year where everything was just going well for her? Well, we should celebrate that. But if she's like, no. And I know she's not like that. But we know people who come into, you know, into limelight and all of that, and all of a sudden, you know, you can't even, before they became well known, you can actually call them because you know them. Now they're there, even though they've known you, you can't even call them. So someone on the enlightenment will not let that fame get into their, you know. That's why you see people who are famous or rich or something, when they are well grounded, because they remember the son or daughter of who they are, they remember their roots. They go back to their roots. It is hard to find good friends. That going hand. Well, isn't that why people are wealthy or famous? They don't know who wants to be their friend because they are famous or wealthy. And that's why they will stick to their old friends who knew them when they didn't even know themselves. Yeah. And then even those ones may change as life goes on. You still think they are the way and they've changed. So the only friend you know that you can be sure of is yourself. And sometimes you're not even sure of your own friendship because other things are coming at you and you have to remember who you are. You have to stay in your own lane and be anchored to it. But once you're on that path of enlightenment, that's what you do. You don't allow anything else. Number 15, it is hard to endure the discipline that leads to enlightenment. Oh yeah, we all know that. Meditate 3 times a day. Oh, well, I did morning meditation. That's good enough. Don't steal somebody else's goat. Well, that goat looks nice. I think I can roast it. I'll make a barbecue out of it. Yeah. There are things that are needed. They say, don't speak before you reflect. These are part of, you know, what is needed if you're on the enlightenment. Yeah. Don't just respond right away and don't react. Simmer it down, ask for the divine wisdom to guide you. And then based on that, that's why you don't see the only ones, they don't get mad, you know? But they see through it. So it is hard to endure the discipline, number 15, that leads to enlightenment. Number 16, it is hard not to be disturbed by external conditions and circumstances. We all know that. Little illness, sickness, oh yes. You know. Somebody is moving around, say, what are they looking at? Are they coming to rob me? You know. Whatever it is, we've all experienced that. Rain is coming, there is storm. It's going to go the way it needs to go, but we all get, oh my God. Number 17, it is hard to teach others by knowing their abilities. Let that simmer in, because this is one of the ones we overlook. It is hard to teach others by knowing their abilities. Because when you feel they are not mathematically disposed, then you feel you are wasting your time to teach them about algebra and all of that. I'm just using that as an example, or like IT, you know. But someone who is enlightened on the path, we see beyond that, oh, you just need to be patient with them. And you just need to, instead of using the normal template, this is what it will take. And then they will get the understanding. That's why some of us, when we meet the right teachers for us, oh, we love them, don't we? Because other teachers may have taught us the same thing, but when they teach us, we understand them. I mean, when you're in elementary school or high school, you have your favorite teachers. Not because the other teachers are not good, but because this one had a way, you know. But others, they just say, oh, well, let him go to remedial course or remedial class. Number 18, It is hard to maintain a peaceful mind. We don't need to explain that. Even when you are trying to meditate, you know the mind is in riot. It's ready to lead you all the way to the Olympic Village, even though you didn't even qualify for your street. Number 19, it is hard not to argue about right and wrong. Oh yeah, we all flow in that, isn't it? Oh, those woke people, those MAGA people, and God says, they are my children, so why are you getting mad for what? Well, this is the right way. Everyone else is going to hell. You know, if you are LGBT, no, that is not God's way. As if God made them when did God whisper to these people, you know? And that's where is to me, I always chuckle, because God tend to go for the ones that people think is evil. Moses, the murderer, who we want to employ him, but God said, well, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments, and we're still following that, isn't it? Number 20, it is hard to find and learn a good method. Go figure on that. And that's why not everybody should meditate the same way. Find the one that works well for you and then stick with it. Then it will lead you to the same place that Jesus ended up. Because one cap doesn't fit all the heads. Neither does one pair of shoes fit all the feet. So now we see what we need at the beginning when we're walking towards the enlightenment. Those are the 20 difficulties. And then, good men and women and bad men and women differ from each other in their natures. Bad men and women do not recognize a sinful act as sinful. If its sinfulness is brought to their attention, they do not cease doing it and do not like to have anyone inform them of their sinful acts. Wise men are sensitive to right and wrong. They cease doing anything as soon as they see that it is wrong. They are grateful to anyone who calls their attention to such wrong acts, because they are on the way of the enlightenment. Sometimes that's what we call foolish and stupid. A foolish person, we recommend, but a stupid person, even if you tell them, because they don't know that is bad, they keep doing it. And why are you harassing me? Because they can't see it. And if they can't see it, there's nothing you can do. You can't beat it into them. Thus, good men and women and bad men and women differ radically. Bad men and women never appreciate kindness shown them. But wise men and women appreciate and are grateful. Wise men and women try to express their appreciation and gratitude by some return of kindness, not only to their benefactor, but to everyone else. Because it's easy to give to one who gives to you. But when you receive that and you are grateful to the one who owns, then you want to spread it. Isn't that what they say, pay forward? Now, here's a story to wrap this all up. Once upon a time, there was a country which had the very peculiar custom of abandoning its aged people, people are old, in remote and inaccessible mountains, as if they have leprosy. You can imagine that. Thank God that is changing. Well, that's why we have our senior homes now, right? Smack in the middle of your neighborhood. A certain minister of the state found it too difficult to follow this custom, you know, of keeping your parents in the jungle. This custom, in the case of his own aged father. And so he built a secret underground cave where he hid his father and cared for him. One day, a guard appeared before the king of that country and gave him a puzzling problem, saying that if he could not solve it satisfactorily, his country would be destroyed. So the problem was, here are two serpents, snakes, for those who don't know what serpents are. Tell me the sex of each. Neither the king nor anyone in the palace was able to solve the problem. So the king offered a great reward to anyone in his kingdom who could. The minister went to his father's hiding place and asked him for the answer to that problem. The old man said, "Oh, it is an easy solution. Place the two snakes on a soft carpet. The one that moves about is the male, and the other that keeps quiet is the female." The minister carried the answer to the king, and the problem was successfully solved. I don't want to dive into that, but you go figure it out. And experience tells us, yes, sometimes men don't think before they act. And the women. So, but to me, this story, we're not talking about just men, physical men. We're talking about the male and female energy. You know? You're talking to them, if they're using their male energy, they want to fix it for you. You're not asking them to fix it. You just want them to listen. So that you see them moving around in their head. Okay, let's do just do this. But the female is like, So you can be a woman just living in your male energy. So you will do the same. And you can be a man living in your same. So that problem was solved. Then the god asked other difficult questions, which the king and his retainers were unable to answer, but which the minister, after consulting his aged father, could always solve. Here are some of the questions and their answers. Who is the one who, being asleep, is called the awakened one? And being awake is called the sleeping one. Go figure that. The answer is this. It is the one who is under training for enlightenment. He is awake when compared with those who are not interested in enlightenment. But he is asleep when compared with those who have already attained enlightenment. Like they say, a one-eyed king, a one-eyed person is the king in the eyes of in the kingdom of the blind. You are as great as those that you are running with. The next question, how can you weigh a large elephant, load it on a boat, and draw a line to mark how deep the boat sinks into the water? Then take out the elephant and load the boat with stones until it sinks to the same depth, and then weigh the stones. What is the meaning of the saying, a cup full of water is more than the water of an ocean? We all have drank some water from the cup. How can that be more than the water of the ocean? This is the answer. A cup full of water given in a pure and compassionate spirit to one's parents or to a sick person has an eternal merit. But the water of an ocean will someday come to an end. In other words, what you pay forward, you can't even see the end of it. So what does this tell us, these questions? Someone who is enlightened or who is on the way to enlightenment will not keep their parents in the far jungle. And that's what that minister did. He couldn't. So he kept, and look at how beneficial that was. So let us pay attention to those things we've heard today, and let us work on them. And may the Spirit of God bring us to that place of enlightenment. Amen.
Amen. Amen.